Back some rich memories, I must admit, from the 1960s, when that was the festival piece for youth choir, and Paul McCommon and Lloyd Landrum were teaching that to us and leading that. It was a wonderful time. Today, looking across this wonderful church family, I see a lot of generations. From children to youth to college to young adults to middle adults to senior adults, we're all here. Many of us don't even know where we fit into that. Many of us are denying where we fit into that. But the fact is, time moves on, and there are seasons within life. And seasons always cause change and disequilibrium. Even on days like today, when we wake up and walk out into a beautiful day, and you cannot deny that fall is in the air. And we are grateful for all the falls we have ever spent, and we want to wear those sweaters again and get out that popcorn and light the first fire and have Halloween. It's time. We've had enough of summer. But next year, there will be four seasons again. And so today we come to talk about change. Two of my favorite Bible verses, one from Ecclesiastes. You can say it with me: to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose unto the heavens. There's also another Bible verse that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And in every season, we are looking for God's purpose, and we're looking for God's will, both as individuals and as a corporate body called a church. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We come to those times in our lives, though, where sometimes we must admit we are restless, where it seems that we have walked through one part of a vision, but now are in transition. That's what stages of development are all about. And in each time that happens, we will inevitably wonder, God, are you with me? God, do you have a purpose for my life? God, where are we going together? You may see it, I don't. What is going on here? In the ancient world, we hear the story that comes from the prophetic writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I want us to reflect on them for just a few minutes. 600 years before Jesus of Nazareth was born, Babylon was the major power in the Middle East. The Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar conquered this small nation called Israel. Israel, really insignificant within the powers of the Middle East. Babylon, or current-day Iraq, quite strong. What Babylon wanted to do was to neutralize Israel from having any alliance with any other larger power. And they did it in an interesting way. Once they conquered the nation, they purposely selected its major leaders, its major artists, its major scholars, its religious leadership, and shipped it off to Babylon, so that these leaders could not give able leadership to Israel. It was an interesting way of neutralizing a vassal country. These Israelites that had been sent to Babylon begin to despair. How long are we going to be here? What are we going to do while we're here? God, why have you permitted this to happen? Why at the height of my life? Why at the height of my influence? Why at the height of my scholarship have I been taken into exile to a place that I know not of? And so both Jeremiah and Isaiah write to this situation and to their people. There's several things I want us to reflect on today about what they write and how it applies to your life, no matter what season you're in, and how it applies to this particular church as you go through life seasons as well. First of all, let's look at Isaiah 41, 8 through 9. Isaiah writes, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest place and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you." God calls us out many times of insignificance and exile. Israel was an insignificant nation from the remotest part of the earth. And yet God created Israel for a purpose and called her to that purpose. So it is in our individual lives. Sometimes we feel like we are in the remotest parts of the world, captured, exiled, and without influence. And yet scriptures come to tell us that everyone in this room is significant. And each of you, in whatever season that you are in, have a major role to play. My own family right now is one of these families that has definitely got different seasons going on. I came home the other night. My 27-year-old daughter, who is a writer in New York City, has taken a self-appointed sabbatical to come home for about 6 weeks. She can write as easily in Macon as she can in New York. She's sitting over here. My 94-year-old mother is also living with us for 6 months. She lives with us 6 months, and my sister for 6 months. And she is in her room watching television. I got two televisions going at the same time. My daughter is supposed to be watching one show and writing a review on it. My mother's in there with her hearing aids out, and it is going 90 to nothing. And I'm sitting here at 64 going, whew, I'm in the middle of this. Well, every single one of these seasons in our family has a place and a time and a purpose. And God is leading in each of our lives for this particular season. I walked into my mother's room recently, and she had all of this stuff scattered all over the bed. I said, "Mama, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm making a stocking for your grandson." Oh, Then I remembered the stocking she made for me, which still goes up on the mantle at Christmas, and the stocking that she made for my children. And now, what is she doing with her day? She is doing something of great value to give to her great-grandson to say, I love you, to say Christmas is important, to say that looking forward to special events is important. It is an important statement. And this is her time, if there ever is a time, to make that stocking, to give this symbol, to treasure this moment. God calls to us when we feel like we are insignificant, when we feel like we are in exile, when we feel like we have no control over our lives. And God says, you need to be reminded that I did not create you without purpose. And I did not create you without a plan. And if you will be patient, and if you will follow me, I will reveal that next step for you. A second thing that the prophets say to us, and if I may read from both of them, Isaiah 41:9. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts, I have said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. And then Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God is clear that for each of us who will listen and be patient, there is meaning in our life. There is an evolving path. There is a next chapter, as long as you have breath to live, and there is a purpose in it. What is that purpose? I think we could say that there's a broad purpose for everyone, and there's a specific purpose for you. The broad purpose is that each of us are called to reveal the love of God through our lives. Let me say that again. There's a lot of different careers and professions in here. But when you were placed in baptismal waters, you found your truest calling. And that is that through whatever you do vocationally, you are called to be God's shepherds in this world. And we never lose that purpose. And in our very worst days, we can know in the morning when we wake up, we have a shepherding role to play somewhere. Collectively, as a church, we go through stages too. There may be some stages where we feel like we are in exile or abandoned. There are some stages, like families, when we don't know if we can get the bills paid or not. There are stages when we cannot see the future and we do not understand this new place we have been brought to, called the United States 2015. But the fact is, God is the one who is leading you. And it's in these moments that we have to have both faith, but also discernment. Faith, but also action. Faith, but also attitude. God does not create something for which He has no purpose, nor which He ever abandons. And Isaiah and Jeremiah are warning these people 600 years before the coming of Christ to understand this. There's a third thing. Sometimes God's purpose is rather slow in revealing itself and unfolding. I want you to think about Israelite history for a moment. The Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Moses, after fleeing from Pharaoh, ends up out in a desert, an exile from justice, married to a woman named Zipporah, having a father-in-law named Jethro, who has assigned Moses to be a shepherd to his sheep. That's a long way from being prince in a palace. For 40 years, Moses wanders in this wilderness until one day, totally out of his control, totally without expectation, he sees a bush that is burning, maybe spontaneous combustion in a desert, but it's not being consumed. When Moses looks at this symbol, he hears the voice of God for him. Moses, go to Pharaoh. You know him. You alone know him of my Israelite people. Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. That's the last thing Moses wanted to do. In fact, very eloquently, he begins to tell God that he is not eloquent and therefore can't speak to Pharaoh. For each of us, no matter what season we're in, no matter how much we may feel like we are in exile or past our best days, if you will listen, you'll hear God's voice. And if you'll look, you'll see that burning bush you cannot deny. And God will take you to people who need you. And that brings purpose in our life. Fourth thing that this passage, I believe, says is that while God's slow purpose is unfolding, we are to put down roots where we are. Listen to Jeremiah, verses 4 through 7, chapter 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply where you are and do not decrease. And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And I can hear the first one that heard this say, God, you have forgotten something. This is Babylon. This is not Jerusalem. And God says, I'm aware of that more than you are. What I'm asking you is to seek the welfare of the people who surround you. Now get with it. I have found in my own life when I am complaining the most and muttering to God about all my woe, that God will inevitably put somebody right in front of my nose who needs something that I can do. Got an email from a student Saturday night. Dr. Walker, can we get together Monday? I just broke up with my girlfriend and my heart is broken. I don't know about you, but I didn't exactly think my Monday was going to be talking about a breakup on campus until I asked myself, what more important do you have to do, Dr. Walker, than to sit down with a young adult and walk with them through a fractured moment? Is there anything more important to do? And I had to admit, there's not. There are broken hearts. There are fearful people all around you. And God is calling you to assure them that God is with them. There is no more important thing to know. Finally, to know God's purpose, we must stay connected to Him. Jeremiah 29:11-13. Again, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now listen to this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will be able to listen and commune with you. And you will seek me and find me when you search with me for all, with all your heart. In those moments when we do feel at times separated, without purpose, without direction, adrift, God simply says, hey, I want to talk with you. And it's going to take both of us to talk. I want to talk to you, but you need to talk with me. I want us to be in presence with each other. And when this kind of conversation happens over time, we are far more able to see the leadership of God in our lives. And so these prophets of old sent these instructions to Babylon. I look back across my 64 years. Most of my crises were predictable. I see now. They were the predictable crises for the ages I was in. But in every age, I managed to believe that God was not there with me. I managed to believe at times that, hey, I'm going to be in exile for the rest of my life. I managed to believe that, hey, if I make a wrong decision here, I have really messed up everything, not knowing that God is a God that is the master of redirecting wrong decisions. Today I hope I bring the good news of the gospel. That every season is rich. And every season is an opportunity. That God is your friend like He was Abraham's friend. And God will take your worst situations and transform them somehow into goodness and into wholeness and in opportunity to help others. I trust for this today that this is the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks that truth and wisdom is age old. And that we can look back in time and, though it was vastly different, see that it is mostly the same. Father, we come confessing that we're often fearful people. Fearful that you're not with us, fearful that we're not with you. Fearful that we have lived a good life, but can't quite put our arms around the future. Fearful that our lives are insignificant. And yet, God, when we follow you, there is no such thing as insignificance. Father, in this moment, give us courage again. Help us to restart that conversation with you again. Help us to believe with all of our hearts that not only have you created us for a purpose, but that as long as we have breath, that purpose continues. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, we Baptists have a different way of ending our services. We believe that everything that happens in worship, prayer and hymns and sitting next to someone and Bible reading and Bible comment through a sermon, somehow your Spirit works through that to apply it to us individually. We come to an end of a service to simply stand and to commit ourselves again to whatever it is that we individually know we were here for today. So as we stand and as we sing, you talk with God about who you are, about why you're here, about what you individually heard. I'm going to stand at the front, which is customary. If anybody should want to come and speak a word, I will be here. Or if you would rather speak after the service, I am here as well. So, let us stand and let us sing our hymn of commitment, hymn 510, Lord, Here Am I.